And let's get the latest on North Korea, which is threatening the U.S. territory of Guam with a missile strike. North Korea's military said via state-run television that it hoped to send a serious warning signal to the U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson spoke this morning from Guam.
I think Americans should sleep well at night. I have no concerns about this particular rhetoric of the last few days.
Joining us now for the latest is NPR national security correspondent Mary Louise Kelly. Hi, Mary Louise.
Hey there, Jeremy.
And Tillerson says we should sleep easy. He said the international community has had a pretty good week when it comes to North Korea because of the sanctions that were passed over the weekend. But then yesterday, as we've now heard time and again, President Trump said this.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
How do we square those two statements?
Well, it is a challenge, isn't it, to figure out how to square fire and fury the world has never seen with sleeping well at night. I mean, on the one hand, this continues the mixed messages we have heard on North Korea, where what the U.S. position and strategy for North Korea is seems to depend on which member of the Trump administration you talk to last. On the other hand, Tillerson was careful today. He did not contradict the president. He defended the fire and fury warning. Tillerson said this is the president just trying to speak a language that the North Koreans will understand, that they don't understand diplomatic language. I mean, don't forget, Tillerson is the U.S. diplomat in chief. So what we heard from him today was trying to calm the waters, trying to create some space for diplomacy. I mean, what he told reporters on the plane with him is he is hopeful that the U.S., along with its allies, can persuade North Korea to, his words, reconsider the current pathway that they're on.
And Tillerson was speaking from Guam, which I guess was a refueling stop on his way back from Asia. But let's
It was kind of crazy to watch him pop up in Guam today, of all places.
Right.
As you say, it was scheduled, but I think a lot of people did a double take.
Well, and let's talk about Guam, which is a U.S. territory in the Pacific. It's home to major U.S. military bases. What exactly is there and why is it strategically important?
It is. It's an island, just to give people a little bit of a sense of the geography. It's about halfway between Hawaii and the Philippines. It is home to about 160,000 people. They are U.S. citizens. As you said, this is a U.S. territory. Among the people who are there are some 6,000 U.S. military. The U.S. has a naval base there. It has Anderson Air Force Base there. This is one of the bases that serves as a launching pad for the U.S. military in the Pacific. The U.S. flies bombers out of there, out of Anderson Air Force Base. So they are used to threats from North Korea because it is it's U.S. territory and it is within reach of North Korea's missiles and has been for a while.
And what more are we learning about North Korea's missile capability as it stands right now?
Well, we are learning that their missile capability is advancing and advancing rapidly. The most recent insight into that came last month. In July, North Korea tested two long-range missiles, one on July 4th, the second one on July 28th. And, of course, U.S. military and intelligence analysts pore over that data as it comes in, the satellite imagery, they're plotting the trajectory, they're trying to figure out exactly what kind of capability North Korea is building. Now, there are questions, many questions remaining about the accuracy of those missiles, questions about whether a missile that if North Korea manages to get a nuclear weapon that can sit on top of one, which it looks like they've made rapid strides in that direction too, if such a weapon could survive reentry into the U.S. atmosphere. So a lot of questions there and questions about the size of the nuclear stockpile, which is an entire separate issue.
And Mary Louise, the people that you're speaking to, are they seeing what's going on now as more of a march toward some kind of military action or toward talks with North Korea?
Well, military intervention is on the table, as it has been for the Obama administration, the George W. Bush administration before, the Clinton administration before that. But it is a last resort because we know that this risks retaliation. It risks escalation. I mean, the problem with a military intervention is that if the U.S. strikes first in the name of avoiding nuclear confrontation, you risk sparking the very confrontation the U.S. was seeking to avoid. On the other hand, diplomacy is a hard track forward. You don't even have agreement agreement between Pyongyang and Washington over what would be required to come to the table, what the prerequisites for that would have to be.
That's NPR National Security Correspondent Mary Louise Kelly. Mary Louise, thanks so much.
My pleasure.